A few different thoughts that we've talked about previously in the prayer groups, but then also what we've been discussing a little bit in the Matthew class. So we're going to kind of merge some ideas here. And let's just start in Matthew 6. We're going to quickly revisit one part of the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to move on and touch some other things. But we're going to start in Matthew chapter 6. And I'll start in verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I want us to focus on that word kingdom. We've been talking a lot in the Matthew class about the kingdom of God and what that means, specifically lately, when that started, how it started, that kind of discussion. But I just want to delve into that word kingdom for a little bit. And like I discussed a few weeks ago, that word kingdom doesn't mean geography. It doesn't mean land. It doesn't mean physical rule. That word kingdom comes from the root word that means king. And it's about the attributes of the king that are showed throughout the kingdom. And so when we pray the kingdom come, what we're saying is that God's qualities, God's righteousness, mercy, glory, holiness, we're praying for those things to come to us, to the earth through us. Not that God's going to have land or dominion, but that us as God's people reflect his qualities. So that's what that word kingdom is about. If you're interested in the original language, the word is, I'm going to put it in the chat, it's basilia is how you pronounce it. Basilia. And the means king or kingdom qualities. So with that idea in mind, representing the qualities of God, let's go to James 3. James chapter 3. And here in James, he's arguing how different the way of the world is from the way of God. If you start reading in verse 12, can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So James is saying, you're either in the kingdom, you're either showing the righteousness of God, you're either living out his qualities, or you're not. You're a part of the world. You can't be in between these two things. So let's keep going, and we'll read 13 to the end of the chapter. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We have a pretty clear-cut list of things, of black and white, so things that are showing God's qualities to the world and things that are not showing to the world. Things that are not showing God's qualities: bitter, jealousy, selfish ambition, boastfulness, false to the truth. Things that are showing God's righteousness, things that are allowing God's kingdom to work in us. Verse 17, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, sincere, righteousness, and peace. These are things that are showing God's kingdom, God's qualities through us. And what's interesting is the verbiage that James uses. James literally says the wisdom that comes from above. The qualities, the attributes of God that come from him to his kingdom. It's purity, peaceableness, gentleness, openness to reason, mercy, good fruits. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, these are traits that we are discussing. These are traits that we as his people, we as his priests need to represent. Now, this past week in our Matthew class, Ryan walked us through the founding of the kingdom of God. And like a lot of you guys, I had assumed it was in Acts 2 was when the kingdom of God was founded. But clearly that was not the case when we looked at what, you know, Jesus said when he cast out demons. But while there may not be a set in stone time that you can point to and say, this is when the kingdom was established, it was at this set moment in time, scripture doesn't tell us that, but it does tell us other points when the kingdom is open. It does tell us other times when the kingdom is at work. So let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is one of my favorites, one of my favorite passages. That is, and that's not the right passage. That's not the right passage. Give me 1 second. First Peter 2, 9. Sorry, it is 1 Peter 2, 9. First Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people made for his possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a royal priesthood. We are to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. The kingdom is at work in us, through us. The kingdom is open when we proclaim his excellencies in the darkness. Every time we show his qualities of love, grace, righteousness, the kingdom is at work. Every time we live out heavenly wisdom that James pointed us to, we open the kingdom's doors. Earlier in James chapter 1, verse 27, he says, pure religion is this: visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Every time we feed the hungry, we give water to the thirsty, we clothe the naked, as Jesus says in Matthew 25, the kingdom is open. When we studied intercession, we looked at Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, and it was a scripture that was new to many of us, but really something that has taken a heart in a lot of us. I sought a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Every time we stand in the gap for someone who cannot stand there themselves, the kingdom of God is open. And so as we break into our prayer groups today, I want us to focus on, what does it mean that we are a royal priesthood? What acts were the priest responsible for? And as priests of God's kingdom, what does that call for us to do? If you need some discussion, if you need some guidance, I recommend Nehemiah 9, Nehemiah's prayer there. Really has some good talking points. But the topic is, as a royal priesthood, as people proclaiming the excellencies of God so that the kingdom doors can stay open, what does that mean for us? Bruce?
That's great. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate those opening thoughts. We're now going to jump into our breakout rooms and our prayer groups, and we'll continue that discussion along with any other discussions our leaders want to give along the lines of the prayer journals. But great to see everyone. Hope you have a very profitable prayer group and a great afternoon. I'm going to open up all the rooms, and you just have to say join, and you'll be in your prayer group. Here we go.